Recently we have been looking at the Beatitudes, and we have now arrived at verse 9 in chapter 5 of Matthew. That's Matthew 5 and chapter 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the makers of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. All these Beatitudes are precious and sensitive, but perhaps amongst the most sensitive is this one, and very searching. Blessed are the peacemakers. Let's regard it first of all in the context of the whole. The background we have here are the Beatitudes altogether, and there are many ways of dividing them. And if I may just put it like this morning, that the first four define the Christian character, and the second four show the positive graces that are expected in a Christian. So we can divide them into four again, you see, in that way. Now then, the first four then, they define the Christian character. Now, let's follow that up for a moment. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, how does that define our character? The poor in spirit is a man that has discovered that of himself, he is nothing. And that man can understand grace by the grace of God, and is visited by salvation. And when he has been visited by salvation, he is still a humble man, because he never forgets that he wouldn't be what he is but by the grace of God. So he says, without God I am poor, but with him I possess all things. So that's the foundation stone. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the proud, the arrogant. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So no proud man in his pride is ever saved. That pride must be broken down until he's humbled. He will resist him until he's humbled. So you'll never find a proud man saved as a proud man. God must deal with him first of all and break down all that pride, that he might become a humble man. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. That's one. Then blessed are they that mourn. After we come to the Lord, we have been born again, but we are growing. And we grow in grace. And growing in grace means becoming more like unto Jesus Christ every day. Well, you might say, what exactly does that mean? Well, it means that it's progress. And if we say progress, it means that we are not perfect in what we are, potentially we are, but not in effect at the moment. It means I have a lot to learn. It means there are some things in me that shouldn't be there. It means I should mourn for the things that are in me that are wrong. Do we grieve for our sin? We may admit our sins, we may admit our failings, but do we grieve for our sin? That we are sorry that there should be anything like this in our life now, especially since we have come into the grace of God and have become Christian. So we should grieve for our sin. Meek. Blessed are the meek. It doesn't mean a person who is feeble and unable, but a man who knows that in the sight of God, that he is a lowly man. And he's not a boastful or a conceited man. And so will walk humbly with his God. So there should never be any kind of new arrogance entering the Christian life. And he should hunger and thirst always after righteousness. I've heard things said, not for a long time, but I have heard these things said at one time in different places. Oh, well, I'll not bother going to those classes because, well, I know it all. Well, if they don't say they know it all, they think they do. say, well, I don't need a Bible class. Because, well, he can't teach me anything. I know it all. Well, anyway, I study it on my own. Or if it's a fellowship meeting, well, they can't teach me anything. I've had all the experiences that are going. I know it all. That person's not saved. Because they have never understood what it means to be totally dependent upon God and to know there is always more and more. In the simplest of verses, you may read it 1,000 times and still you will find more. And so you can say that even from a very unexpected source, a young Christian sometimes, a Christian who's been a Christian for 50 or 60 years, he might say to you, do you know, I'm learning every day. Today, that little chap was converted this morning. Do you know, I learned something. Now, that's the essence of it all. This humility and this grace and this lowliness, and that we hunger and thirst always after righteousness. We cannot get enough of the things of God or fellowship with the people of God. That is the Christian character defined. Very briefly there now. Then out of such a character, you would expect things to come out of him. Now we have looked at one. You would expect him to be merciful. Why? He has received mercy. So he in turn will be merciful. Even though it may be a situation that may call ordinarily for anger, he will be merciful because he has received mercy. He will be pure in heart and seeking to drive out all impurity in his heart, because you'd expect that in him, because he desires to be as his Saviour. And so he will promote all that is pure, and all that is impure is obnoxious to him. And now we come to this one this morning. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now consider this word. A maker of peace. Does that describe us this morning? Can you write about yourself, whatever I am, Lord, by thy grace, I am a maker of peace? Think well. A peacemaker. So that wherever you are, that will be the effect that you leave. Yet we live in a world that is the opposite of all that. What terrible times they are. They're frightening times, aren't they? Every so often we are reminded how very bad things are. Yet if we look at the history of the world, what a nasty world it's been. Do you read history books sometimes? Do you remember your history? It always seemed to be about wars. Mainly about wars. The rise and fall of empires. That's always in every page. This one came, then another came. And you see the history in the Bible. Same again. The rise and fall of nations. Wars and wars. And as if that weren't enough, you find that even when they've had their war, that they are cruel to one another. How savagely cruel nations are to each other. And how peoples have been eliminated in order to make room for another people. The history of North America tells us that, doesn't it, really? How one people were virtually removed in order to make room for many other nations. That's the history of mankind. You can go to any part of the world and you'll find some form of terrible, terrible cruelty. And the history also between ourselves. How many quarrels have there been in this world? Would you care to make an estimate? How many times have you quarrelled? No, you've never quarrelled, have you? Just a little word sometimes, maybe. But it's often, isn't it? How many times have we quarrelled? How many sorrows have we caused? How many hurts have we caused? Words like a shaft, all these things. We live in a nasty little world. It's only a little world. It's a small planet, as planets go, and it clings around a small star called the sun, as stars go. And yet, for all the smallness of the star and the smallness of our planet, it's a nasty little planet. Wars and rumors of wars, and peoples of every nation given an opportunity, and they all show the same cruelty towards one another. That's the world we live in. And yet Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. Beautiful title, isn't it? The Prince of Peace. Now, we regard him as our Saviour, and we know what we mean by that. The Prince of Peace. This verse, too, that we're familiar with, let me read it to you. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And it's quoted again in the New Testament, you know. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. That is, you thank God that they came your way. They made peace with God for you. They brought peace into your heart and peace in your behavior. And you thank God that they passed your way. Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, is that your experience? Well, of course, to ask a person to be that, who is a nominal Christian or a person in the world, he may say, well, that's very good, but you're asking him to do the impossible. So we must stay for a moment, mustn't we? We're blessed are the poor in spirit, in that what exactly is a person that is capable or has this ability potentially in him? Do you remember the verse in Romans 5, verse 1? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That must be there. That must be there. And very often, I'd like to say always, but I'm afraid to say always, because sometimes there are exceptions for different reasons. Mostly, if a person is not a peacemaker, he has never known peace with God. Not really, has he? Let's be really honest about this now. That's why the narrow way in the Bible is called a narrow way, and few there be that go that way. Few. We think we're few now. Maybe even fewer still, you see. Few there be. Now then, how can this be? Well, what does it mean in verse 9 in Romans 5? That we are justified by his blood and saved from wrath. Saved by faith in Jesus Christ. That the great event in our lives was to see that we were failures. And to see that we were sinful, full of sin. And to see that we were unclean. And to throw ourselves upon the mercy of God. And to receive by his grace the forgiveness of sins. Now, we are speaking about that person. That's the character that we are interested in. We cannot expect anyone who hasn't had that true experience to be able to be like this verse. It's impossible for him. He may try for a while, but he can't do it. He's prejudiced and he's proud and he's sinful. He can't. But there's every reason for a Christian to be able to do this. But if he positively always will refuse to be it, one has to hold in doubt whether he is a Christian. Now, the principle then. Peacemakers. Now, what is the opposite of a peacemaker? Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, shall I change the verse on? Cursed are the troublemakers. What's a troublemaker? A person who makes trouble. Have you ever met a troublemaker? Well, they're very, very clever usually. They'll usually go to a person And they'll seem quite affable and friendly. They want to be acceptable. But they want to make trouble. Trouble between that person, a Christian, and another. Or between a Christian and his church. And so he'll come along to him and say, you know, you're a very nice person and you're going on nicely with the Lord now. But you know, I wouldn't be too friendly with so-and-so. Why? Well, you'll find out. That's all they give you first time. The second time you get all the venom that they've got in their hearts. And venom it is, because they're vipers. So they are. Or if it is about a chapel or a church or an organization within the church, and they want to make trouble there, and they're never satisfied unless they are making trouble, they will say vicious and unkind things about the corporate body. And you'll always notice their terminology. It's never us as a church. They'll never say, oh, we are a terrible church. Oh, we are an awful church. Oh, we are an unkind church. No, oh, that church, then. Even though they're members. Makers of trouble. They're not Christian. Makers of trouble. It's not that. Not that. When you say, why am I picking on this? You may be thinking, has he got somebody in his mind now who's making trouble? No, I haven't got anybody in my mind at all. And if there is a little bit of trouble going on, I don't know about it at the moment. I don't know. So I'm not in that. It's coming in Scripture. So if there is trouble, may be well and truly squashed. That's all. That's a wonderful thing about expository preaching. Everything comes in its turn. And you go the rounds of all things without being pointed towards anyone. In James it says this, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is a tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. When they do things against spiritual places, that is, people make trouble in the world, all right, that is important. But when people make trouble within the realm of Christendom, between Christian and Christian and the church, then that is evil. And I mean every syllable of that. That is evil. They've said wrong things, they walk away then. It's evil for many reasons. Even if there are faults, woe to them that say anything against the work of God. Am I right? You know I'm right. So let us always be careful about that. Neither is it the opposite now, where there are lots of things that are really wrong. And we say a peacemaker will say peace at any price. At any price. Now there is a great difference, you know. Let us take it now, if you had a minister and that he couldn't do anything, he was not so good, and so you get a bit fed up with him, and so lots of unkind things happen. Well, we should be Christian and charitable. But supposing you had a minister, I'm using this as an example, there are hundreds more I could use. And after he became the minister, you find out that he's not an evangelical, but a Bartian. That is, a person who uses the same terms, but doesn't mean the same thing. Different meaning altogether. And before long, you begin to find out that he's not preaching the gospel. And indeed, that he is opposed to the gospel. And he welcomes worldliness into the church. And he does not preach the truth. These things. Then you have to stand up. Then the peacemaker has to say, you are not preaching the peace of God. You see? He isn't always silent. So here are two things now before we come to him himself. One, he is not a maker of trouble within a church. The same time, he is not a person who says peace at any price. Let him preach what he likes. Let him bring anything into the church that he likes, so long as we have peace. No, not that either. Then, what is he? He is a person who does not cause trouble. He is a person who produces peace. What kind of a person is he then? Well, first of all, he is a Christian. Yes, but after having said he is a Christian, there is one thing I must mention about him as a Christian that he must learn in order to be an effective maker of peace or a peacemaker. And that is his view of self. Do you remember that hymn in one of the hymn books? This cruel self. How many subtle forms it takes of seeming verity. Self. That's flesh within us. The lust of our flesh. We call it self. And it takes so many forms. And it's so subtle and clever. And says, now look, say this, say that, say the other. And persuade you that that's the right way. A Christian must be a person who has under control his mind, his attitudes, his words, his heart, his emotions, under control. And so that he does not regard everything that pleased me, and if it pleased me, all was well. Or it didn't please me, then all is not well. He is a person who realizes that there's nothing in him. And he has a right view of self. He is a sinner, saved by grace. And a different view of others. Perhaps one of the hardest things for all of us is to esteem all others better than ourselves. Shall I tell you how to do it? It's not all that hard. You can do it instantly. Now, here. You can say, well, it's impossible. It's very, very hard to think another Christian, especially if there's not much to say about him, better than yourself. And I can show you how. Be absolutely honest about yourself when you have a good look at your heart. And ask yourself, would you like others to see that which is in you? It humbles you. It humbles you. Then you look at this person, you might say, well, he hasn't got much ability, but he hasn't got the filth that's in my heart. So you do not find it hard to esteem him better than yourself. Then you are beginning to understand the realm of the peacemaker. It's a tough one, isn't it? The peacemaker. Now then, the practice of it. He views every situation from the point of view of the gospel and the honour of God. That is, as I told you already, he doesn't cause trouble, neither does he settle for peace at any price. Now then, when you put this into practice, what does it really mean? It means that this person is more concerned about the honour of God than anything else. And will do so graciously, remember. The honour of God and the honour of the gospel. You'll never find him criticising a true evangelical church. You'll never find him criticising a true servant of God. You'll never find him criticising a fellow Christian who's struggling on to live an honest life. He will look for that which is good and encourage. He is desperately concerned about the honor of God and that his name might be glorified. Now, if you and I would ask a question, well, how shall I know when I have to stand between error and truth and so on? All you have to ask yourself is, What am I doing now? Is it God honoring, and will its ultimate end be to the honor of God? And if you're able to answer yes to that, then you can go ahead. But you have to be able to answer yes to that, that what is going on is not God honoring, therefore I protest. But if you cannot say that, then you must learn to help and to encourage. How do I put such things into action? Supposing I find a person that is my enemy and doesn't like me. What's my attitude as a peacemaker to him? Do you remember what the Bible said? If thine enemy hunger, feed him. What does that really mean? Now remember, you're a peacemaker. And here is a person who has been really difficult, and difficult in the chapel maybe, or difficult in the group you're in, whatever it may be. And you're he's difficult to you, and he's not nice to you either. And you have every reason to say, I don't like you. Go away. You have every reason to say like that, as far as his attitude to you is concerned. But you're a Christian. And you're a peacemaker. So what do? You ask yourself, why is he like that? Why is he so unreasonable? Why is he so unkind? Why is he so uncharitable? Because he's listening to Satan. But he's a Christian, yes? But he's listening to the whispering of Satan. Now, what's your attitude to him now? It's not of anger. But you think, this poor thing, this poor man, he's wasting his life. And he's listening to the whispering of Satan. If you want to be tactless, you go to him and say so. You'll only make him worse, because Satan's got him really in his grip. No, you pray for him. And you learn to love him. And for the sake of the house of the Lord your God, you will seek his good. That is how you put it into practice. Now, we use then as peacemakers our influence by having a positive attitude of love, so that wherever we go, we leave the savour of Christ. Sometimes you can track a person down by their gossip. Or if a person talking to you, you can immediately say to them, I know where you've been. I know who said that to you. You can track down. But isn't it far more wonderful when you're able to say to a person, well, you're going on with the Lord. I know whose company you've been keeping. You've been keeping godly company. And you yourself, wherever you go, leave the savour of Christ. If you do this in our chapel or in the Sunday school or whatever fellowship it may be, we will prevent many sorrows, won't we? We will prevent many sorrows. We will restore many a wreck. We will guide back many a person who had wandered from the loveliness of Christ. We would have safeguarded many, many things. Now then, that's all I had to say on that. But the main thing about it all is this. It only takes one lie to ruin a good character. You thought? It only takes one apple to ruin a whole barrelful of them. It only needs one cruel word to break a heart. Do you see how important it is? Blessed are the peacemakers. And in that context, these people will always point people to the Prince of Peace. Will always point them to the one who will make them right and give them peace. Will always do that. And you know, it's a strange thing. Words flow apace when we complain. That's true. And fill our fellow creatures here with a sad tale of our complaints. That's true. And there is something lovely, lovely is the wrong word. There is something very acceptable to us about complaining, because you can find words so easily. This is our experience, isn't it? Have a good old moan. A real good old groan. The words describing it, you know, are excellent words. Moan, he's a moaner, he's a groaner, he's a right old misery. And you know, there is something that is, that can, words do flow apace. You listen to people on the bus, he said, she said, I said, he said, she said, I said, and they're like a couple of machine guns. I sometimes wonder if they listen to each other, but they seem to get the message. And it goes on and on like that. Words flow apace. Now, how can we break the desirability in our own hearts for that? You know, if we can break away from that kind of attitude and stop it when we're surrounded by it and say, I'm sorry to hear you say that, and begin to speak the good, and begin to look for the good, and begin to look for the best, you'll find a new enjoyment, the kind that you never thought existed. And we become different people. I believe our faces change. Yes. There is a radiance there that will become Christ-like. Are you a peacemaker? Now to close, the promise. For they shall be called the children of God. Now, have you noticed how they have different little titles here? And you might say, well, why doesn't he use the same one for them all? They are choice. Now then, a peacemaker is a child of God. He has been, by the grace of God, made a child of God. But here it says, he shall be called a child of God. So that now, openly, God will recognize this person as a child of his. Gladly, freely, with joy, he says, this is one of my children. I can put him anywhere and there'll be peace. And he'll spread it around him. I can put him into any committee or into any little fellowship or into any Sunday school class or into any Bible class or any church chapel, what have you. I can put him anywhere and I can trust him because I can call him a child of mine. He's like my son. He is a maker of peace. It's a wonderful thing. They are called the children of God. And God is not ashamed of them. Not in any situation. Not in any situation. He's able to take them anywhere, put them anywhere, and he's not ashamed of them, because only good can be by them being there. And he recognizes them. What is a child of God? He bears the name of God. He's conscious of it. He shares the secrets of God. And he's conscious of his trust. He learns the ways of God. And he never wants to let him down. He has an inheritance. And that itself is a place of peace. Listen to it. No corruption. That is, it is not tainted and not influenced by anything that is bad and evil. No defilement. It can't be made dirty. It fadeth not away. It can't in any way corrupt in the sense or disintegrate or fall away, because it is forever. And this is the inheritance of God, which is reserved for us. And see how positive a thing it is to be a Christian in this positive way. You might say a warmonger is positive. He is, you know. He's set on destroying a person. He's set on causing trouble. But a peacemaker is stronger because all the powers of God are behind him. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. Now look what God will do for him. God will preserve him. God will keep him. God will persevere with him, that he grows in grace. And God will reserve a place in heaven for him. And he will call him and call him again. My child. Where are we? The sad thing is this, that I find anyway, I can always justify my grumbles. Can always justify them. I think we need to examine ourselves. If we desire the restoration of good things, is it right to say that we should understand what good things are? And if we desire the restoration of good things, let's taste the good things first of all. Let us taste this and say, I desire with all my heart to be Christ-like. He is a Prince of Peace. Sometimes, because we are in such a horrible world, it's very hard. And the flesh in us can be very powerful. And we really have to hold our tongue and say, now think. That's not necessary. It's not even kind. And hardly is it true. You're not sure. Stop it. Then in your mind, you can have uncharitable thoughts and attitudes. And you can say, now look, I'm allowing the flesh. Now come on now. Take every thought into the captivity of Christ. And be what you are in Christ. Or somebody may have offended you and your blood seems to rise and you're going there as if you were a man of war. And suddenly you stop and say, I deserve hell. And yet I've been forgiven much. And you hold a rein upon yourself. Say, Father, forgive me. And turn your eyes upon Jesus. And look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory, his grace. Let us pray. Our gracious and our heavenly Father, we love thy word. It's a beautiful word, and yet it hurts because it's pure. And it hurts us, O Lord, because we allow impurities within. Then, Lord, help us to seek thy grace. And help us to take thee seriously in every part of our lives. For one day, we must stand before the throne of Christ. And we are answerable. Hear us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.